Welcome back to more San Diego Comic-Con interviews. This time we talked to the cast of Spartacus Vengeance, and I got to talk to Dustin Clare, who plays Gannicus, Manu Bennett, who plays Crixus, Katrina Law, who plays Mira, Lucy Lawless, who plays Lucretia, Liam McIntyre, who is the new Spartacus, and the creator and writer of the show, Stephen DeKnight.
Yeah. You were awesome in the prequel.
Thank you.
You really stepped up and became the star of the show very, very quickly.
Oh, that's a good sign. Thank you.
So how did your character...
You're so sweet. Thank you. Which one?
We've seen Gannicus.
Is that there?
No?
Gannicus. I mean, thank
now,
you.
Now, what else is he going to do?
He's reintroduced back into the season at some point. We're gonna find a man who's changed a lot, but also is carrying some old wounds from the past that he has to deal with, and he's really, you know, he's a man who's a master of his own destiny. And after he won the freedom, I mean, that's kind of allowed him to go and experience more of the world, and we're gonna see a more evolved man, I guess, but still the Gannicus that we, you know, parts of the Gannicus that we come to know and love, and also the, you know, the fighting, the skilled fighter, and but essentially, really, a man who's grown.
Can you talk about the physical training that's involved in doing this kind of physical?
Yeah, and I've talked a lot about that in the past. You know, it's a big physical. There's a lot of physical kind of effort involved in terms of training before and after work, and, you know, just the stunts and all that kind of things that we do. But yeah.
What was the challenge between shooting the show in a stable location like the Ludus versus the slaves on the run?
Well, it's a different fighting show. It's a different show.
So what was the challenge for you?
It's evolved, you know, the show has evolved from that class structure system in the Ludus to, it's a road story now, you know, it's a traveling kind of show, and they're on the road, they're on the run, and same, my character is obviously a free man, so different, but for my character, but for that, you know, Spartacus team, it's a different kind of, it's evolved into something else, and it will keep evolving because the story, you know, the history of Spartacus and, you know, his band has to move in a certain way, and we have to kind of follow that structure. So yeah, it's not the Ludus arena fighting stuff.
And what about the big guilt hanging over your character about basically betrayed your best friend? Not even basically, absolutely betrayed your best friend. So how does that kind of reflect on the growth of your character?
He was forced. Yeah, forced.
Well, that's true. You know, the forced. First time, true. Yeah. Yeah. Not necessarily, not the second time.
Yeah, it was only one time.
Deny all knowledge.
It's a complex relationship, but it's kind of the saving grace of the character, I think, in terms of him having a real affinity with someone. He's very much that master of his own destiny kind of guy, the journeyman with the bag on his back, and, you know, no one can tell him where to go or what to do. He's his own man. And because he's free, he's a free man, he's not a slave anymore, we really get to explore that a lot more. So, yeah.
Let me ask you, this show has a lot of blood and guts and sex and violence. And, you know, obviously that's part of our culture in filmmaking, right?
Well, and no, what not do necessarily.
You think about, how
I think
do you feel
it's
about that?
I think it's more of a. It's definitely more of a. In. I don't think it's part of the culture of filmmaking. I think it's probably more of a. An American kind of cultural construct.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would
absolutely.
Say. Yeah. Well, I don't.
Plug. We have the juice over here.
Yeah.
Good deal, Nicole. So So you don't. So you, basically, because I want to understand that, you know, I am a journalist, but I'm also a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And you know, it's very challenging for me as a woman to always include that element in my films.
Right.
So as an actor, right. I'm just, and especially since you're an actor that's not from the United States.
Yeah.
How do you see that? Is that like more of a burden as opposed to doing other sorts of things around the world? You know, in the UK or in Australia, or you know, you're saying it's just basically indigenous to the US. That's what our culture really is looking for. Is that what you're saying?
Well, kind I mean, of? Well, America has a. No, I'm not saying that. America has a. I mean, they have a love for horror films. It's something that we really don't have in our culture. And although there, you know, there's certain parts of I'm sure Australian culture that really enjoy horror films. It's not as that kind of stuff isn't as I guess widely.
It's not as mainstream.
Yeah, it's not as mainstream like in places like Australia. I mean, yeah. So it's very much in, you know, there's a lot of horror films and stuff coming to Comic Con and that type of thing. But I guess in terms of that is yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not something that we kind of. Although saying that, we just did Underbelly in Australia recently, which was quite violent.
Right.
Maybe it's the way society is kind of allowing itself like to go in terms of what's being shown on screen. And I think it's important to keep the a moderator involved in terms of like, you know, at what ages you're allowed to watch certain content.
Right.
I think that they're really important.
But how does
constructs.
That play? Just the last part of the question is, if you don't mind, how does that play into you like relating to the other characters? You know, you're engaging in this sort of thing that you're not normally used to doing, all this, you know.
Oh, I mean, it's just, we're actors, you know, we're playing.
So that's it.
So, you know, you have swords and you're pretending to cut some, you know, you're not really cutting them.
No, I mean, of course not.
And that's kind of the whole fabrication of what filmmaking is. It's like, in our minds, we think it's real, but only for that moment on screen. And, I mean, it's important that there is that kind of separation between what's on screen and reality.
Right. Awesome. Thank you.
It's been the most challenging fight to get
the end fight in episode 6 where there's 20 people fighting and on like Ganicus is the last man standing. That took about 8 days or 10 days or something to film. It was a big fight, but they just got an Emmy nomination for it, so you know,
wow,
it paid off. I had a bad back injury in episode 5 and 6 last year, and it's just due to overwork and stuff, I think. And then you got to keep working with an injury, and then it exacerbates, and then everything's just going to go.
So by the end of the shoot, you're like, I'm getting in bed and staying.
Yeah, exactly. Do not wake me. Yeah.
Is there anything that you could hint about the new season? Something
spoilers.
You know, something that you're really excited about? Just give us a tidbit.
I'm excited about kind of where Ganicus fits into the story this season, and kind of who he is, and how he relates to the other characters within the story. I mean, that relationship with Onomaeus is going to definitely be explored, and.
Your character doesn't even know Spartacus.
No, he doesn't know. He has no idea who the man is, apart from stories that he would have heard kind of around. But no, he's never met the guy before. So that's going to be an interesting relationship to explore as well. I mean, you've got two kind of strong men meeting for the first time with very different views. Yeah. So there's obviously going to be drama there.
You must have seen the Stanley Kubrick Spartacus.
Yeah.
Do you think he would enjoy watching this?
Well, that's, I mean, I don't know Stanley's taste.
It's a bit ice-wide show.
I mean, I don't know Stanley's taste in films, but he made a very good film, a very good film with some wonderful actors. Yeah, I still remember the contrasting grain of the film that they used and how kind of beautifully it was shot. Yeah, it really was.
What have you put of yourself into the character?
have much involvement with him.
There's always parts of yourself in characters that you play, but essentially you are playing a character. And I said a lot last season that I modelled my character on Anthony Mundine, the Australian Aboriginal boxer, and a man who has a lot of confidence, but really what we want to understand is what is driving him, what's beneath him. And we got to explore and unpick a bit of that in Gods of the Arena, and we're going to explore and understand it a bit more in this season. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Since Gannicus has been free for a while, do you think he'll be reluctant to pick up the sword, or do you think he was fighting?
He's always good with swords.
Do you think he's been five while he's been out there exploring, or do you think he's been trying to avoid that kind of violence? It's been forced on him, his character, so much.
I do think he's definitely stepped away from the violence. Yeah. So it will be, I mean.
He has to go through that transition again.
Possibly. I guess you'll get to see.
I thought pictures down there.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, I've not been to one before, so it's all a new experience. And, you know, where I come from, there's nothing anywhere near as big as this, so it's quite... It's nice. It's nice to see a sort of a celebration of the show on a scale like this. Yeah. Where I come from in New Zealand, there's nothing quite as big, so, you know, it's good to see that it's so popular.
I was wondering, you had a challenge in the prequel. You had to lose a lot of weight because you were just starting to get to the ludus. Have you... You're looking a little bit bigger. You going to put the weight back on forward?
You know what? I think I've come back about halfway because, you know, season one, Phrixus was the war machine, you know, and so, you know, I trained particularly for being that shape. The gladiator who was training every day, was on top of his game, you know, was the true champion, you know, so you know, I had a sort of a size that matched that. Then when the prequel came along, I had to completely revert to being a slave arriving at the ludus for the first time, you know, long hair and, you know, ballistic. So I shredded about 8 kilos, and then when this season came up, you know, we discussed what the, you know, requirements would be, and, you know, would be on the, you know, basically we wouldn't be at the ludus, we wouldn't be fighting and training every day, we wouldn't have the food supply. So we, you know, I like to mix up the character a bit. You know, I think it's interesting to keep on transforming. It makes it interesting, one, for me as an actor, and I think it makes it interesting for the audience as well. You know, my hair's gone a little bit sort of middle length now in comparison to the flat top of the long hair. And, you know, we talk about keeping the flat top in this second season, but we came to the decision that, you know, my hair naturally grows out of a flat top in 2 weeks. The same would happen to Princess. You know, so we decided, well, you know, we can't just keep this trimmed little flat top. It wouldn't make sense. So we've sort of, you know, as I said, I really like to mix up the look with Princess. And I think, you know, you're going to see several phases in this season as well, as he progresses with the very interesting storyline, which I can't tell you about.
So how do you feel about your character in season two? What are the key differences that you see, the journey that you're going to be taking on in this particular season?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, the episode is called Vengeance.
Right.
And so, I think the underpinning element of the second season is the idea that we've gained our freedom, and you know, now we're sort of setting the task to oppose those who put us in our chains and have vengeance for what we were put through. You know, Crixus's journey, you know, in season two is about trying to find out what happened to Navia. You know,
right.
So there's that side of it, but you know, it's as was happening in season one. I think there's a you know, great storyline that started to develop in season one between Crixus and Spartacus about their common views, you know, what they did share in common, and but, you know, coming out into the world as two generals, really, you know, how the leadership is going to counterbalance between them. You know, I mean, you know, the Gauls are going to be there, and the Thracians are going to be there, and it's going to be kind of like, you know, which power is going to sort of rise, and which one's not going to
It sounds like the scale of the action.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I like that. Which power rises? That's awesome to put it like that.
Yeah.
Because that makes it really sexy in terms of expectations about the characters. You know what I mean? It's kind of like setting the stage for, you know, that's a great, brilliant answer. I love it.
Well, it was nice to always keep conflict between between Crixus and Spartacus. You know,
yep.
I mean, you know, there was a lot of times in season one where in the writing we could have shook hands or we could have looked at each other and gone, I hear you, buddy. But we just chose not to, you know, and I think it was just a good choice originally by Andy Whitfield and myself to keep the tension in there. You know, I think when you've got conflict rules in drama, you know, and then we just hold on to it as much as we can, you know, and as performers, we keep on talking to the writers and saying, hey, you know, instead of slightly going warm there, why don't we snap it the other way, you know?
How's it been different with Andy gone now? How's the cast, like, kind of regrouped around that?
You know, there's two situations. There's a professional situation where the show's had to go on, and I think we've found the perfect replacement. You know, a perfect next person to play Spartacus. You know. No one can match. Nobody can match what Andy did as Andy did it. But somebody can bring their own performance. And Liam's bought his own performance.
So it'll be a little bit of different type of Spartacus.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's no upside to the situation. But in its own example, Liam being Spartacus now, I think you've got a another interesting dynamic for the whole for the audience to reinvest themselves in another challenge of accepting the show. You know, I think one of the things about our show is we've constantly had to come up against huge obstacles to keep the show going. You know, but and the audience is sort of like been sitting there wondering whether they're going to accept things about the show. I think that's one of the great things about the show is that it keeps on changing, and the audience has to keep on, you know, challenging themselves to go on the journey, you know.
Oh, it's been amazing so far. I saw the most amazing Transformers walking across the street yesterday. And if I had my camera on me, I would have ran up and took a picture. But I
was a couple bucks.
No, it was actually really legit costume. I was fully impressed. Yeah, it was. It was really good.
Take a photo. It's crazy outfits.
Yeah, it's inspiring, actually. I love that people feel comfortable enough to come here and get dressed up and do all this stuff and live out their fantasy of their favorite characters. It's awesome.
So how do you feel about being the lady who helps them escape?
I feel badass about it. I think it's so exciting. I think I'm really lucky to be a part of the show where the women are really strong and they're feisty and they fight and they do these fierce things and they get down and dirty right along with the boys. And it's been a lot of fun. So knowing that I kind of got that first little stab in, I take a lot of pride in Mira.
Yeah,
I do.
Yes. I think it's the first thing like I noticed, like, females kick ass.
Yeah, it's a good show for
That's
women.
That's awesome.
It's a great show for women.
Yeah.
What kind of role do you think that freed slaves have? Like, I know the men are going to be like fighting. What do you think the girls are going to do?
Well, I think that's the big question for the slaves, especially the women this year, is figuring out what their role is now that they're not carrying on jars of wine and being forced to have sex with men and doing all these things. They're really trying to figure out who they are and who they are as individuals now that they can have a choice in what they do and how they live and who they want to sleep with, what they want to eat, where they want to live, and all these different things. I think it's a huge discovery process for everyone. My character goes through that a lot. She's basically out in this free world now trying to figure out where she belongs and how she fits in and how she can make a difference.
Sorry, there's obviously a lot of nudity in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys all comfortable with seeing each other naked by now? Is that kind of scary?
It's always going to be weird. You know, normally when you first start a nude scene, you sign the nudity rider, you know exactly what's going to go on. You go in, it's a closed set, so only the essential people are there. And of course, they have the modesty garments, and everybody's very, as soon as you cut, you cover yourself up, or they come over. And by the end of it, you're just like, everybody's seen it, just don't even worry about it. We're all good. We're all good. We're family. We got it. So, yeah, by the end of it, everyone's just like, whatever. But it is weird because a lot of times I'll have people come up to me, not that they're cast members, but I'll have people come up to me on the street and just be like, oh my god, I love the show, I love your character, I love this, da, da, da. And my first thought is always, you know what, I'm kicking. So it's always a little bit of a mind game to get through that. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just trying to buy some corn. So.
Oh my god.
Thanks, awesome, yeah. And you know, in their head, they're probably not even thinking that, but immediately I go to like, so it's good.
So how hard was it to get into that role where, you know, your sexuality is made them? Like, is it hard, or is it harder, or just acting like, yeah, just acting, and then you see it on screen?
You know what, there are certain shows where I would never do anything. It just wouldn't happen. But with a show like Spartacus, yes, you could, there are arguments on both sides of what you can and couldn't do, but on a show, I understood what the show was about. I understood the time period. I saw the trailer of what it was going to look like, and as soon as I saw it, I just thought, I want to be a part of the show. If I were ever to do nudity, this is it. This is number one, where I will look the best, because they will light me, they will do all of these things, they will get my angles and do everything they need to do. But when it comes to nudity, it's, you're an actor. You act with your body, you act with your face, and as long as you find it appropriate for what you're doing and you don't feel exploited as an actor, it's one thing for your character to be exploited, but if you as an actor feel like you're holding the line as to whatever line it is that you draw, whether you're only willing to do top, bottom, back, or whatever, then I think it's fine. It's just up to the individual person as to what they're comfortable with and what they're willing to do.
Do you think there's been really good progression in forms of strong women in TV shows? Because it just seemed like it's been such a slow progression to get to that, where even today people look at certain female strong characters, they think they're bitchy, but if it was a man, it would be perfectly normal. But I mean, do you think that it's finally where audiences are becoming more accustomed to women, being strong, powerful, thinking, and not being the damsel to be rescued?
Yeah, I do think it's gotten to that point, especially if someone like Hillary Clinton kind of paving the way for a lot of us, you know, and it's not to get into politics or anything, but there are a lot of women that are becoming strong leaders in the community. So for now when you go and you see a woman on television being strong, it's not a normal anymore. And I also think it's the way that women portray it. If you can still stay feminine and do what you do and not try to fit into the man's world, but just keep it a strong female world, then I think it works out.
Quick question. Yes. Can you tell me anything about the relationship between Spartacus and your character in this season?
Well, Mira loves the fact that Spartacus is in love with Sora, and that's one of the main reasons why she was attracted to him, the fact that he's so loyal to her. And obviously, Mira would love to get on that same level, never to replace Sora, but to get on that same level. So I think that's kind of what she's going after this season, to see if she can kind of figure out, you know, will Spartacus love me or not?
Thank you. It's their responsibility or choice to, right. and yeah, good for them. But
right.
I don't do anything really with other people. I would do this job if it only paid me a living wage. I would do it.
You shouldn't say that so loud.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
But no, I mean,
funny.
I don't do it for anybody but myself.
Right, that's brilliant.
I dig it.
That's brilliant.
How do you view Patricia as a role model? Is she your role model?
I don't know about that.
But she is a strong character.
She's a survivor. She's not even trying to be strong. She doesn't have any luxuries left. What happens to her this season is so harrowing. Like, I guess I've been some really dark places with this character of late. And, you know, people think acting is about being somebody else. But actually, for me, acting is about, this is my chance to live an alternate reality. So I'll go there, and they write some really intense stuff. Fortunately, I have amazing actors to work with. Viva Bianca, Craig Parker, special note, Nick Terabay, who plays Rotten Asher.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, that guy's such a good. He's so good at his job. He makes me, like, he's laugh out loud funny, not because it's comic, but because the way he turns things around is so surprising. But those are the people I work, you know, I work with much.
What was the difference between the Lucretia you played in season one versus the prequel? Like, they seem like completely two different characters until the end when you found out that wasn't true, but it seemed to me when I was watching it that they were two completely different people. That there was something that was going to happen that would turn...
In order that would make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. I was waiting for that turn to happen, like some event that was going to happen to make...
Did you get that event?
Well, that she was faking it.
Hang on, what are you talking about? You're
talking
about... Orgasm?
No.
Doesn't everybody? No. Freaking what?
Well, I mean, she seemed very innocent and very nice in the prequel.
She was just a person that a modern person could relate to.
Right, found out at the end she'd been poisoning her father-in-law for, like, years, and that made me go,
but all for the love of her husband. What else did she have at her disposal? He was wrecking her husband's life.
Oh, I understand. That's the point where I realized that Lucretia was Lucretia. She hadn't changed at all. I just perceived her as that. And I was attributing that to your acting ability.
She didn't intend to kill him initially, but eventually she was just left with no option. You made me do it.
So you guys are you guys are in the middle of shooting the new season.
Yeah.
You talk about anything you've been doing very recently, this week or
whatever. I can't actually tell you specifics, but I can tell you it was harrowing.
The scene you were doing this week. Yeah.
And I'm very thrilled with it.
How are your character dealing without your husband?
Huh?
How is your character dealing without your husband? Because he's
she's getting by the skin of her teeth. And I don't know where it goes. I know she... Do you remember Lucretia was always quite superstitious? Oh, she was quite religious in a Roman kind of way. And she has a religious bent that gets positively screwy. It was bent, now it's screwy. And she has a big plan. She has an end game. And you should not see it coming. We're gonna my plan. I want to hurt you. I want to make you complicit in my crimes. I want to make you understand me.
Perfect.
And Lucretia's relationship with Alethea is very central.
How do you choose your characters? I mean, your roles. I mean, how do you
choose
the best roles for you that are always perfect?
Well, that's because Rob Tappert writes them for you know. Well, has them in mind, and then, you know, a lot of luck, possibly. But the best roles I've ever had were by Rob or his alumni, like David Icke.
Yeah.
So they are a certain kind of people. And I tried network TV, and I'm not sure it's the place for me. You know, I want things to be gritty. If I'm going to have an alternate life, it's going to be somewhere really gnarly. I don't want to do something glossy for the paycheck. I would die. I would die inside. That's right. They're trying to kill me every week, but I every season I'm supposed to die. And I'm
there. So the creation is definitely not backing down after what's happened.
Well, that would be suicide if she backed down. There's nowhere to go except, I don't know what, the whorehouse and die in 3 years of somebody's disease and abuse and whatnot. That's not an option for a woman of her wits.
See, that's the thing. She's very witty. You know, I like that.
She's got some wits, right? Weedonopolis.
Yes. Is that exciting?
What the hell's that?
That tells me something about you.
Yes, I'm a big fan of Mr. Joss Whedon.
And Jed Whedon's a writer on this.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
I did not know that. See, there you go. I got a connection.
You got it. Well, and Stephen DeKnight worked.
Yes, Steve DeKnight. I knew that one.
Yeah. Yep. Can I ask about someone else behind the scenes? Sam Raimi. Mm-hmm. Interesting to see his name on this. Is he involved in any proactive sense or is that too far?
You know, Sam and Rob develop things together early on, but Rob's really the TV. Rob loves TV and Sam loves films. And that's the division of labor. In any good relationship, you divide up what you love and are passionate about. And
He's pretty busy where he is at the moment, you know, and all. So, yeah, but no, we can see him. So. I think Sam would have, like, the flight to New Zealand would kill him.
Right.
Is he flying?
You got to choose a man.
I was going to say, if you'd have to choose the fate of Lucretia, what would that be?
The fate of Lucretia I would choose is the one that she has. It's so good. It's so juicy. It's so thrilling. And I will say that this season has challenged me more than anything I've ever done. It's really taken me some very... and I hope it's borne out. You know, just because I had that experience doesn't mean it'll be good on screen. But since I'm ultimately that selfish, I'm only doing it for my own.
So it takes a little bit of
thank you, Michael.
You
have my email, right? Thank you.
Seldom.
It's not that, because I'm so... like, I want to go there. So if I'm doing something that's extremely unpleasant, and we do it, if you have good colleagues, you do it as really efficiently and really real. You do it right the first couple of times, and then you cover it from the lens or whatever. Then you're also exhilarated. As much as your blood pressure has kind of gone through the roof, you're exhilarated. So, no, I'm really proud of it, and I hope it looks as good on screen as it felt, as terrifying as it felt. I hope that happens.
Is the worst still to come as well?
Oh, yes! Yes! I've done all sorts of things. I've done so many naughty things this
That's the quote right there.
What, Paul?
Oh, okay.
You guys are ready.
Yes.
So
I want to tell you everything about it, but they gave us this bloody cheat sheet.
Just tell us the last episode.
Yeah, just tell Dan what happened.
Oh, no, that would really ruin your fun.
How about a tease from the first episode?
Oh, Stephen's listening! I told him you said we can't say shit.
I'm everywhere.
We're gonna get in trouble.
I said just from the first episode.
She told us nothing.
They wouldn't tell us about the trailer. Did they reveal the final Cylon in this first episode?
I wish I had a thought of that.
That would have been great.
Yeah,
see, now you know your answer for the next time somebody asks.
All right. Thank you so much.
Is that Lucretia's ghost batshit crazy?
Oh, yeah.
Or it felt as terrifying as it felt like a veteran pilot.
Is the worst still to come as well?
Oh, yes! Yes! I've done all sorts of things. I've done so many naughty things this season.
That's the quote right there.
What, Paul?
Oh,
you guys are ready.
Yes.
So
I want to tell you everything about it, but they gave us this bloody cheat sheet.
Just tell us the last episode.
Yeah, just tell Dan what happened.
Oh, no, that would really ruin your fun.
How about a tease from the first episode?
Oh, Stephen's listening! I told him you said we can't say shit.
I'm everywhere.
We're gonna get in trouble.
I said just from the first episode.
She told us nothing.
They wouldn't tell us about the trailer. Did they reveal the final Cylon in this first episode?
I wish I had a thought of that.
That would have been great.
Yeah,
see, now you know your answer for the next time somebody asks.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
Okay. Is that Lucretia's ghost batshit crazy?
Oh, yeah.
Or
before we even get started, you wrote one of my favorite episodes of all time of Buffy.
Oh, yeah? Which one? Tell me what happened.
One, and it was one where Buffy thought she killed a girl, but she really didn't.
Yes, Dead Things.
Thank you.
Yes.
One of the best episodes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I believe that also has the onus of being Sarah Michelle Gellar's least favorite episode.
Oh, my.
It was awesome. Oh.
Because of the scene on the balcony with Spike, the sex scene thing.
Oh.
Which I understand. Yeah. And I wish I could take credit for that idea. I think that was Josh's idea. I thought it was great.
That was an awesome scene.
That
wasn't quite Spartacus level sex scene.
Well, you know,
everyone's going to start somewhere. Right?
Network TV, they
tend to cut things off.
Yeah, they kind of give us the squeeze.
So you guys feeling good about the new season?
Feeling great about the new season. Yeah. I mean, I'm very excited for everybody to see the trailer. The show, you know, it has the same feel, but it's just so much bigger. It's just so epic.
Tell me about
you really
it.
Get that from the trailer.
It's been such an exciting process filming this thing because it is, I think on a daily basis, I'm just staggered by how they can achieve. Like, I don't know if you take some joy out of writing stuff that is impossible and then watching people achieve the impossible.
Yeah, you know, my partner Rob Tapper, who unfortunately couldn't be here, you know, I'll write it, I'll send it to him. He'll say, "Steven, I love this. This is great. There's no way we can do it." And then somehow, a month later, he figures out how to do it. It's amazing. And I throw him gigantic shit. Mm-hmm. Just gigantic.
You'll get a flavor of that in the trailer.
You really will. Yeah, there's a couple of shots in the trailer where you go, holy crap.
I'd like to think that fans will be like, "Are you kidding?" I was there. I can't believe what they achieved. You know, like.
Yeah. Can you talk about those moments specifically if they're going to be in the trailer?
No, you can't.
Not really. No, I can't.
It's very confidential.
No. It's like anything. It's like you don't want to know. Everybody says they want to know spoilers, but nobody really wants to know. If I was about to tell you the ending of, no, you don't. You think you do. You're welcome. I'm helping. No, because it is really exciting and it is epic and massive on a scale that I don't know if I've seen on a TV show personally. I am staggered. Every time I see a script, I am staggered by what is going to happen. And that's kind of exciting. I know that I probably speak for all the actors when we are excited to see each new script as it comes because we know that something that kind of never been done before is going to happen in it, which is, I mean, a blessing beyond all things you could imagine.
We always swing for the fences.
So, Steven, are you letting them know in advance what their scripts are, what they can expect, or do you make them...
Oh, no, they get scripts. The director gets it first, and then they get it.
We get teased.
So the director has a chance to look it over.
I know. I feel like I feel like a fan myself because
what's the last script that you got?
I have seven.
You have seven. I just finished 10.
I know.
So they'll get those later.
He does this. That's like he does to everybody else. He's like, "You should see 10. It's pretty good." And I'm like, "What happens?"
Ridiculous.
So you think you want spoilers? I'm like, I want to know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, well, you know, what am I going to prepare for mentally?
There is stuff in 10 that I cannot wait to see.
See, you see, this is what he does every time. That's it. And I'm like what? He's like, "Well, you'll see." And he knowing smile.
One of the things I'm actually proudest on the show is that we somehow, and I think a lot of it has to do with my work with Joss Whedon, we do finales like nobody's business. I mean, we go for broken finales. And I think also part of that is that we're not afraid to kill beloved characters left and right.
I know, it's brave.
With John Hannah, that must have been a big decision to get rid of him.
We love John, and there was a lot of hand-wringing at the very end. I got some calls from stars at the very end saying, "Maybe they don't break out this season. Maybe they break out next season."
You're like,
and which I must said, be the best news, because you know it's working.
Yeah, and it was very satisfying, because when the fan reaction to that final episode of season one came out, a lot of people said, you know, I didn't expect them. I expected something to happen where they didn't break out and it would stop, and they were shocked. We murdered so many people.
Well, I can speak as a fan of the first season, which is a crazy experience to have, and I remember watching it and just going, "You didn't." And constantly, you know, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of that kind of thing.
You'll be saying that in spades in this season.
There was a lot of twists strangely, between the first season and the prequel, where I didn't see a lot of things coming. I was really amazed.
Isn't that amazing?
Do you have those kind of things coming for us this season, or talk about, I guess, how you came up with some of the twists for the prequel?
There are definitely surprises. I've always liked them. Sometimes overly complicated story. I like really, really complicated stories where you think it's going one way and then it goes another. I think that's just one of the joys of writing and actually watching something.
Things I loved about Romans through the first, the Roman side of things through the first two seasons, you know, that is what you've managed to achieve as far as, you know, mixing up how they interact and status changes and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and the other thing I love playing with is heroes that aren't completely heroes and villains that you start to love and you root for even though they do horrible things.
Lucretia especially, you had me convinced in the prequel that she was used to be a good person and something must have happened to make her a bad person, and no, she was always a bad person. So
how cool was that episode? How cool was that?
One of my favorites.
Another one of those, oh no you didn't, things for me.
Let me ask you, how do you feel about kind of, you know, let me just rephrase that. The other actress that stopped by our table kind of said to us that you cannot replace an actor, that you just kind of go on with the show, and you're getting a different dynamic. So the actors respect you for who you are, and they're not looking to replace you, right? Now, do you think that the fans are going to feel that way as well?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's the same for me. It's I know it's going to be hard for fans because, again, being a fan, I love Andy. I think he's amazing, and nothing is ever going to change that. And no one would ever expect that someone someday will go, you know, because direct comparison isn't the right way to go about
it. That's what I was saying. You know, yeah, it's too cheesy. Yeah,
well, it's just not. It's not even really relevant because it's like I'm never going to be the same actor. And you wouldn't want to be because Andy's got an amazing Spartacus. My challenge is to honor that by having another amazing Spartacus. And you know, and what I've been saying everywhere is that I want to keep the same spirit because that's what Stephen writes, that's what Andy performed, and it's going to be, you know, my challenge has been to make sure that Spartacus still feels like Spartacus, even though it's
so that's brilliant what you just said, and here's the second part. He does such a magnificent job in writing Spartacus that the spirit of Spartacus can transcend very easily for you as an actor. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm lucky like that because the scripts, as you'd know from the first two seasons, are so strong.
Right.
Like they're so strong. The characters are so well drawn that you just like you have no idea how lucky I am. When I get these scripts, I just look at them and go, this is just magic. You know, it's you get so much to play with. You get so much juice. All that stuff that makes you go, I can't believe they just did that, is the same for the actors because you just go, wow, I can really do something with this. And you can totally see where Spartacus is and where he's going and what he needs and what he wants to achieve. And that hasn't changed. Like, you know, Manu, the Crixus character, through all the major characters, through, you know, Lucretia, all this, like, you can see their characters, you can feel them, and they get to enjoy being able to bring that to life. So in a way, you know, I obviously Spartacus is going on a new big journey. It's kind of nice that there's a direct break. There's in the ludus, now there's outside, you know, and so I get to go on a new journey as Spartacus and hopefully bring that new experience but still make it feel like that leader that you love, you know?
That's exactly the question. Leads right into the question. What's the challenge between shooting everything in the ludus and now you guys are on the run and moving, and for a writer, how is that different? What's the challenge?
It definitely gave us some challenges. It's a lot easier to have those kind of conflicts when everyone's forced to be in the same space. One of the biggest challenges is how do you cross the heroes and the villains?
Yeah.
And if they see each other, they will try to kill each other.
Right.
And we found some inventive ways to do that. And also, one of the best ways to do that is, well, of course, there are villains in the heroes' camp, and there are heroes in the villains' camp.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody is looking for some kind of angle, ultimately, and very few people are pure and good. Even one of the things I did in season one, and I continue to do in this season, is Spartacus is not a golden boy. He makes mistakes. He does the wrong thing. Sometimes he's too brash. Sometimes he's not brash enough.
That's one of the beauties of Spartacus' character is because he's at a level of flawed hero.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of baggage that he's got to try and work through and try to do good things and find, you know, because he's got a lot of demons that he's got to fight, which kind of makes him really interesting.
It seems like you're kind of pushing the boundaries of what you can share in terms of gore and nudity and stuff like that. Do you kind of get things pushed back by the network? You say you can't do that.
You know, every now and then, we'll cut it out ourselves. Sometimes it's written. Sometimes I get it, you know, on dailies where it's been expanded upon. And yeah, there's been a couple of times when I've seen stuff and I go, let's cut
that
out.
That's crazy.
Let's snip that out.
Don't forget, guys, you can catch the video of most of these interviews online at weedonopolis.com.